from the United States of America. Here's Mail Call, one big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear. In answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. This mail call is dedicated to the thousands of servicemen and servicewomen from the Dominion of Canada. And here to act as your mistress of ceremonies is the star whose many thrilling performances have won for her an everlasting place in the moviegoers' Hall of Fame. Montreal's favorite daughter, Norma Shearer.
Thank you, Don Wilson. And thank all of you for inviting me to participate in this airmail tribute to the servicemen and women from Canada. Whatever part of America's great northern neighbor you may hail from, Quebec or British Columbia, Ontario or the Yukon, we want you to know that this letter is for you. And what better way to get us started than by speeding your way the Armed Forces Radio Orchestra's splendid arrangement of Canada's splendid song, I remember it so well, The Maple Leaf Forever. That was just wonderful. And now to continue this verbal special delivery, I'd like to present a young man whose own verbal delivery has won him a high place both on the Screen Star list and the radio's list of star comedians. Here he is, Manitoba's Lend-Lease contribution to the United States, Jack Carson.
Thank you, folks, and hello, fellas. Norm, it's a real pleasure for me to be in this particular mail call. You know, Canada claims me as a native son.
Really?
Well, it's not exactly a claim. It's more of a confession. I was born in the little town of Carmen, Manitoba.
Carmen?
Yeah, that's right near Guy Lombardo. I'll never forget some of those winters I spent in Canada. Gosh, it got cold. In fact, the girls up there wore sweaters just to keep warm. Everything froze. I whistled at one girl, and for the next 3 years, I went around with a permanent pucker.
Well, loosen your lips, Jack. You're in a warm country now. I understand that you've worked up a little travelogue of Canada for us. Sort of a P-38's eye view of the entire Dominion.
Well, yes, I have, Norma. But first, I'd like to say to all of those of you who hail from that great country, that any resemblance to people or places that occurs in this little trip is purely impossible. And now I want you all to join me as I fly high above the rooftops of the world on my magic bath mat. As we fly toward the great Dominion of Canada, we pause for a moment at the last connecting link with the United States, historic Niagara Falls. The magic bath mat swoops low as we observe a young couple engaged in a typical Niagara Falls conversation. And so we leave Harry James and Betty Grable. We find ourselves now in the great city of Montreal. This cosmopolitan and industrial center is literally humming with activity. Seeking a bit of advice concerning our itinerary, we stop at a busy intersection to consult a police officer. Much like the London Bobby, the Canadian policeman is esteemed for his politeness. He nods courteously as we approach. Tell me, officer, where would you suggest I make my first stop on this tour of Canada? Ontario, Quebec, or Saskatchewan?
Go to Halifax.
With a friendly pat on the back, bidding this kindly flatfoot adieu, we push on into the interior of Quebec. This land of scenic wonders is famed in song and story for its many concealed lakes. Buried as they are in the heart of the forest, they are very difficult to find. Ah, here's one. Drying ourselves off, we stroll through a peaceful wooded glen. It abounds in wildlife, and even now we see before us a little rabbit busily munching at his noonday meal.
What's up, Doc?
Bugs Bunny, what are you doing up here in Quebec?
Oh, I'm on my honeymoon, Doc.
Well, isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. Just me, my wife, and our adding machine.
And so we tune off one rabbit's family and continue our trek westward. An open field, and as we cross it... But wait, what's this? An angry bull is pawing the earth before us. Ever mindful of the old adage, we step right up and grab the bull by the horn. There wasn't a bull, and those weren't his horns. Off again, the bath mat flies northward, up to Hudson Bay on the rim of the Arctic Circle. Soon we find ourselves at the last frontier of this rugged country. Here in front of a little trading post, we see a dog sled hitched up and ready to travel. Near it stands a burly, brawny prospector about to leave for the Yukon. His grizzled, weather-beaten face bespeaks dozens of battles against the icy elements. But what's this? He's sitting down on the sled. We address this veteran of the Northland. Tell us, stranger, aren't you going to mush on to the Yukon?
Are you kidding, kid? It's chilly.
We wave a loose wrist at this poor frozen custard and take off on the last leg of our journey. Soon we are flying over the great province of Manitoba, where we see below us the little town of Carmen. This is my birthplace, and it is with considerable nostalgia that we land for another look at the scenes of my childhood. After 20 years, everything seems the same. Even my old school teacher standing in front of the cigar store. This is the man to whom I owe all my early training and education. With a voice choked with emotion, I approach him. Teacher, don't you remember me?
Why, yes, certainly, certainly, why, positively, you're the Jack, well, I'm glad to see, how have you been, where did you get this, still playing hooky, huh?
Carson, thank you. That was every bit as amusing as it was inaccurate. You know, they say that the Northwest Mounted Police always get their man. Well, your next star has played the part of a Mountie many times. And not only does he always get his man, but occasionally he winds up with Jeanette McDonald, too, which isn't bad winding up with, even for Nelson Eddy. Canadian precincts are heard from. In the order named, Toronto, Ontario, and Fort Williams, Ontario, give us those lovely young stars, Anne Rutherford and Cecilia Parker. Welcome to Mail call, girls. It's certainly been a long time since I've seen you two.
Yes, Anne and myself have worked in quite a few Hardy pictures since we last met, Monsieur. That's why we don't get around to very much. Louis Stone is quite strict, you know.
Yes, I remember. Louis Stone always liked to keep an eye on the younger stars.
Well, yes, but not like Mickey Rooney. But come to think of it, gee whiz, if Mickey were only here, we might be able to do a dramatization of one of the Hardy pictures for the gang listening in.
Well, at present, Mickey is taking his direction from top to top sergeant. But we're still going to do a Hardy family sketch.
But how? Who's going to play the part of Andy Hardy?
Or king-size Mickey Rooney, Jack Carson.
The scene, Judge Hardy's study. Andrew Hardy, played by Jack Carson through the courtesy of the Warner Brothers. is talking to his father, Judge Hardy, played by Nelson Eddy, through the courtesy of the Shortman Bread Baking Company. Andy speaks.
Dad?
Yes, son?
I think it's about time we had another man-to-man talk. I have to have a bigger allowance.
Andrew, we've been all over this before. Remember, money isn't everything. Money can't bring you happiness.
The money I get can't. I just gotta have a bigger allowance, Dad. I'm 16 now, you know. Well, Dad, there's a girl.
Andrew, when I was your age, I was courting your mother, and I didn't get any allowance.
You didn't need any. Mother was loaded. But come on, Dad. You've always been fair in the past. What about it?
Andrew, after careful consideration, I don't think I should increase your allowance.
Very well, Dad. You're still the squarest father a fellow ever had.
I am?
Yep. All the other guys have fathers. You've got to be a square. Well, here's Polly Benedict's place now. I'll ring the bell.
Andrew Hardy. Come on in.
I can only stay a minute. I just want to know what you're doing Saturday.
Oh, nothing, Andy.
Oh, great. I got a wonderful day planned for us. I meet you about 12 o'clock and we'll have lunch.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you got in the house is all right. Then we'll go for a nice long walk in the park.
Oh, good. We'll buy some peanuts and feed the squirrels, huh?
What do we have to buy peanuts for? The squirrels are fat enough now.
Well, then, we can go to the lake and rent a boat.
Yeah, well, I think that's such a good idea. The lake is very damp this time of year. Oh, we can go to the zoo for a while, and in the evening we'll find a nice quiet spot and watch the moon come up.
Oh, you mean for those telescopes to put a dime in?
Come to think of it, there's going to be an eclipse Saturday night. Maybe we could go to that free dance at the high school.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I couldn't go to the dance with you, Andrew.
Well, why not? What's wrong with me? Let's change the subject.
Well, look at you. In the first place, you look like a child. You're 16 years old and you're still wearing short pants. Now, how would it look for me to go to a dance with you in short pants?
Huh?
I said, how would it look for me to go to a dance with you in short pants?
Well, I know. I've never seen you wear. I mean, I'll get long pants. You wait here. I'll get them right now. Dad, I think it's about time we had another man-to-man talk. Only this time, let's not talk about men.
Very well, Andrew. What is it this time?
Well, Father, I've always known you to be a very fair person. But I just can't bear to have people go around saying that Judge Hardy is starving little squirrels.
Andy, what are you talking about?
Squirrels, Father.
Don't you see that this girl, she's wonderful. She's crazy about them. They love peanuts, and she loves to feed them. And then I get a bigger allowance. How can I buy peanuts for her?
Son, are you running around with a squirrel?
No, Father. Polly Benedict. Furthermore, she won't go out with me unless I wear long pants. I gotta have them.
Son, sometimes we exaggerate the importance of things. If this Polly Benedict only goes out with fellows because he wears long pants...
Oh, Dad, you don't have to get stuffy with me. We've both been around. After all, the only fun in life is to let go once in a while. If you let go twice in a while, it's twice as much fun.
Can't wear short, long pants yet. You can't wear long pants yet. That's what I... Anyhow, why, in a little while, you'll be standing on some street corner whistling at girls.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe in my corner.
If you don't want to buy me a pair of long pants, how about lending me a pair of yours?
No, son, you're too small to wear my pants. You'll only have them dragging. You'll just have to wait.
How long do you want me to wait? Till I'm dragging? Come on, be a sport, Dad.
Well, it's not me so much. I'm afraid your mother would object.
Oh, you don't know. Just you don't know how to handle Mom, that's all.
Please, Andrew. Remember, I wear the pants in the family.
Sure, Dad. Only because Mom is too chubby for slacks. Slacks? Hey, that gives me a great idea. See you later, Pop.
Come in. What is it, Andy?
Gee, sis, you look lovely, sis. You're the prettiest sis a fellow ever had, sis.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, you're so beautiful, sis. You're gorgeous, sis.
What are you talking about? I've got a mud pack on.
Oh.
Get it. How much do you need this time?
Sis, I'm surprised at you. I wouldn't take money from a girl, especially from you and my own flesh and mud. Gee.
Quit stalling, Andrew. How much do you want to borrow?
Sis, I don't want a penny. I swear to you on my yo-yo.
Well, what is it then, Andrew?
Well, it's a girl. She's crazy about me.
Please, Andrew, you're beginning to sound just like Jack Carson.
Don't be angry with me. I may kid you a little once in a while, but, you know, I really feel about you. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
Well, Andy, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you either. Well, I'd give you the shirt off my back.
Yeah? Make it your slacks and it's a deal.
My slacks?
Yeah, I just got to have a pair of longies by tonight.
But my slacks will be too tight for you. How will you get into them?
Oh, don't worry about that, sis. I know a sailor. He'll show me.
Hello, Andy. How are... What in the world have you got on?
Oh, just a pair of long pants.
But red crepe de chine.
I hadn't noticed. I got so many, you know. Well, Polly, how do I look? Sharp?
No. Round. Gosh, Andy, those pants seem awfully tight to me.
Oh, I don't think they're so tight.
Well, maybe not, but if I drop my handkerchief, just ignore it. Well, come on, Andy. Let's go in the parlor.
I thought we were going out tonight.
Oh, no, we better stay home. The fellows won't know who to whistle at. I'll go into the parlor.
All right, Polly. After you.
Oh, no, after you.
No, after you.
But, Andrew, why don't you want me to walk behind you?
You wouldn't believe it.
You know, Andy, in spite of all your clowning, I'm really terribly fond of you.
Honest?
Uh-huh. You know, Andy, I knew this afternoon when I went for a walk in the park this romance had come into my life.
You did?
Yes. Oh, dear, Andy, the breeze rustling in the treetops seemed to be sighing just for me.
And the leaves whispering together like naughty schoolgirls seem to be telling me all their secrets. And even the birds stop their twisting long enough to whisper a message of love into my ears.
But it isn't the squirrels.
Oh, Andy, be serious. Put your arms around me.
Okay.
Come closer to me.
Uh-huh.
Now. Press your lips to mine.
Okay. That Mickey Rooney really lived, didn't he?
Beside me?
Sit. Think I should?
Of course.
Well, I'll sit here for a while. How much to charge for room and board?
To Celia Parker, Jack Carson, and Nelson Eddy, our sincerest thanks. And to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, our sincerest apologies. As I mentioned before, the Canadian Mounties always get their man. But to countless small villages and communities throughout the Dominion, the Mountie is more than just a policeman. He has become a symbol of friendliness and helpfulness in time of need. And so, it is in their honor that Nelson Eddy and the Paul Taylor Douglas Aeronators give us now the Song of the Mounties.
All over the snow, what are those voices? They sing as they go, thundering voices. A pack of hungry wolves on the trail. Dead or alive, we are out to get you, dead or alive. If you're the one better run, better run away. Son, you are done. Throw your gun away. Here come the Mounties to get the men they're after. No.
Up with a few farewell words to every allied man and woman in uniform throughout the world. You who have met and lived and fought side by side with the Canadian know that he's pretty much like his American neighbor. He's a regular, easygoing fellow who likes his cold beer. He has a good sense of humor, a proportionate amount of self-confidence, and the firm belief that, like the GIs in the United States, he knows what the score is. The men from Winnipeg, Toronto, and Montreal who raided Dieppe are no different from the men than the men from Kansas City, Chicago, and Twin Forks, who stormed Sartan. There's little difference between soldiers from Hamilton, Sudbury, Quebec, and Calgary, and those from Charlotte, New York, Minneapolis, and Portland. They speak the same language, they want the same things. They enjoy the same hopes and desires and aspirations. And they're now fighting and dying for them on the same battlegrounds overseas. The Canadians have been in Europe 5 years now. Our English allies call them their Dominion cousins. The men from the United States call them Americans. But the Canadians themselves, well, for the last 2 years, the Canadians have been trying to explain the Yanks to the British and the British to the Yanks. And now they all understand and are explaining the entire problem to Adolf Hitler in the only language the Nazis understand. Cold steel and hot lead. And so, wherever you are tonight, men of Canada, keep them going. And God bless you and watch over you all.
The end of another mail call letter. Signatures include Norma Shearer, Nelson Eddy, Jack Carson, Ann Rutherford, Cecilia Parker, Mel Blank, the Paul Taylor Douglas Arianators, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program is arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Here's mail call. One big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. This mail call is dedicated to the service men and women from the state of Maine. And standing at the microphone now to act as your master of ceremonies is one of your most consistent radio favorites, a New England boy who made good in the big city, Rudy Vallee.
The dear old name up till the rafters ring, and drink a toast once again, let every loyal Maine man sing. Then drink to all the happy hours, drink to the careless days, drink to Maine alma mater, the college of our hearts always, to the tree, to the spring and its glorious happiness, to the youth, to the fire, to the life that is moving and calling us, to the gods, to the faith, to the rule of the men and their destinies, to the lips, to the eyes, to the girls who will love us someday.
Distinguished summer residents. Summer residents, you know what I say. Most any June, July, or August, you can find this fellow broiling a lobster or himself on the beach at Old Orchard. Here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. You know, Rudy, this is the first summer I haven't been in Maine since Hector was a pup.
Well, what are you doing in Hollywood, Fred?
Hector wanted to come out here to meet Lassie, Rudy. When Hector told me Lassie's salary, I thought I'd come out and make a picture myself.
You're going to make a picture?
You? Rudy, don't look at me as though I had just stolen your good conduct ribbon. If you had one. I ran across a producer who had some old Technicolor left over. He wanted to use it up, so to help him out, I'm making a picture, Rudy. If Lassie and Jack Benny can get into pictures on all fours, why can't I?
Well, at least Jack Benny looks like something.
He looks like something that nobody can explain, Rudy. If Benny is a leading man, William Bendix is a ballet dancer. But, Rudy, let's forget that fugitive from a mortician's show window. I heard you say this program was dedicated to the members of the AEF from the state of Maine.
It is, Fred. What a state and what great old characters they have up there.
Ah, Maine is the only state that has a bath in it, Rudy. And they tell me some great old characters, and they tell some mighty tall tales.
I remember one old fellow in Westbrook, my hometown. He was quite a hunter. He told me he invented a curved rifle barrel so he could shoot around corners.
Did it work?
I'll say it did. One day he opened the door, fired the gun, ducked back inside, and he hasn't been out since.
Why not?
Every time he sticks his head out, there's that bullet still whizzing around his house.
Can't get the lead out of his vicinity, hey? This fellow been confined in that house?
9 years.
9 years without going out. He must have one of the more modern Maine homes, Rudy. About a fisherman, speaking of tall stories, a fisherman up in Booth Bay Harbor who caught a salmon that was so big he had to tow it 20 miles up the Penobscot River and out into the ocean to turn the salmon around to get it back down the river again. To cook the salmon, they had to start a forest fire up there. And when the salmon was done, instead of green peas, they served that salmon with 200 watermelons. Now, you wouldn't believe that, would you, Rudy?
Yes, Fred, I would.
Really?
Yes, Fred. The man who caught that salmon was my father.
No kidding. Those Maine fishermen are sure rugged.
That they be.
Why, there's one. You have a little dialect left over. You better stay in the city a little longer. There's one guy I know. You can't get the country out of the boy. You know, there's one guy I know, Rudy. He's 195 pounds of solid bone and muscle. A massive, mastodonic specimen of manhood.
Was somebody calling me?
Yes. Come in, Frank Sinatra. Well, Frank, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Fred. What are you doing out here in California, Fred?
It's a long, dull story, Frank. I wanted to go to Maine, so I went over to the Grand Central Station in New York, bought a ticket, and 4 days later, here I was in Hollywood.
Hollywood? How come?
Well, look, Frank, today, if you can get a ticket on a train, you don't ask any questions. You go where the engineer is going. You know, the train situation is pretty confused, Frank. I have a friend who at this moment has been in Quebec for 3 weeks visiting his mother, who incidentally is in Denver.
Anyway, I'm glad you came out, Fred. You see, I've been wanting to talk to you alone for some time. What's the matter, Bud? You got a cold?
Oh, excuse me, Frank. I knew I'd forgotten something. This is Rudy Valley.
Rudy who?
Valley. Valley, as in Death Valley Day. Rudy, this is Frank Sinatra.
Frank who?
Sinatra. He's a singer.
Oh. Oh, yes. The Voice.
Look who's laughing. The Vagabond Lover.
My time is your time.
To think that that split up my grandmother and grandfather, I don't believe it.
No, I'm nothing at all.
Son, you're nothing at all if I ever saw it.
Now, gentlemen, Gentlemen, please. This expose is liable to put you both out of business.
Why, this guy Valley used to sing through a megaphone.
You would, too, if you could lift one.
Boy. Boys, please, watch your language. There are sailors present. And it's time for a song. And if one of you guys don't sing, I am going to.
Oh, no! Not that.
Yes, I'd rather listen to Valley than you.
And I'd rather listen to Sinatra. Go ahead, Junior. Thrill the people.
Boost him up to the mic, Fred.
Up.
Up's a daisy, Frankie boy. I'll get it in. Hurry up.
When they begin, sound of music so tender, it brings back a night of tropical splendor, it brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more. Is my heart, and there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to part. Moments divine, what rapture serene.
Begin the Begin, sung by Frank Sinatra, and very good, Frankie.
Thank you, Rudy. Say, I'm a little tired now. Could I sit down, please?
Sure, sure. Help Frank to a chair, will you, Fred?
All right, Rudy. goodness, you're easy to carry, Frank. You look like a lollipop before they put the candy on.
Now, fellows and girls, since that great American poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, was born in Maine, we feel it only fitting we should bring you some sort of poetry this evening. So we're going to bring you some sort of poetry. Here comes our poetess now, Miss Mary Livingston.
Hi, gang, and thank you, Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra?
Yes, it's really a thrill meeting you, Frank.
Now, just a minute, Mary. I'm not Frank Sinatra. I'm Rudy Valley.
Oh, well, I just missed by one generation.
One generation. I may be a little older than Sinatra, but I'm in better shape than he is right now.
Gee, that's terrible. You ought to see a doctor.
I'll be all right. Now, Mary, how about that poem for the servicemen and women from the state of Maine?
Okay.
What's the title of it?
Maine is on my brain. Yes.
Maine is on your brain.
Also Sinatra.
Go ahead, read your poem.
Maine is on my brain. There are many Maines in this world so wide. Some are in the open and some are inside.
So far, nothing.
Wait till I get rolling. There's a water main which sprinkles the grass, and the main needs a street so filled with gas. There's a main street in every village I hear, and a main on a horseway in front of the rear.
I can't make head nor tails of this.
Quiet. But of all the Maines I love the best is the state of Maine, away out west, the end.
All right, just a minute, Mary. Maine is our easternmost state. Honest, Mary, talking to you as a friend, I feel that I should tell you that your poetry is horrible.
Oh, yeah? I'd like to have a nickel for every tomato you caught in your megaphone.
Grapefruit. Nowadays, it would be called a victory garden. Well, Mary, here's someone you ought to say hello to. An old friend of Jack Benny.
Who is it?
Fred Allen.
Old is right.
Oh, Fred, look who's here.
Hello, Fred.
Well, Mary, this is a surprise.
Where are you staying in town, Fred?
Well, I couldn't get into a hotel here in Hollywood unless I wanted to hop bells. So I went to a little auto court out on Ventura Boulevard.
How far out?
Seattle. It's quite a place. It has a slogan, every room needs a bath.
Gosh, you didn't have to go that far out. You could have stayed at Jack's house in Beverly Hills.
Oh, I know, but going through all that fingerprinting. A nickel every time I want to go in and wash. That meter on the roller towel. It's not worth it, Mary. Say, by the way, what do you hear from old easy come, hard to let go?
Well, I'm waiting for Jack's first letter now, and I know he's going to be furious when he unpacks his bag.
Why?
Because I helped him pack, and at the last minute I had a change of heart and took back my girdle.
Oh, really? Well, the Pacific is a large area. He can spread out there, I'm glad. I hope he took his hot water bottle.
No, Carol Landis is with him.
Oh, a substitute, hey? Well, everything is ersatz nowadays.
Yes, and I'll knock his ersatz off if he doesn't behave.
What did you say, Mary?
But Jack did take some other things, Fred. Shirts, some pajamas, socks, and a hairbrush.
A hairbrush? For what?
The bag was full.
Okay. Oh, I wondered about the hairbrush. I know Jack parts his hair with a tweezer. He split it down the center, that one hairy. But tell me, hasn't Jack made a trip to the South Pacific before?
Well, he started it once years ago, but didn't quite make it.
Oh, I heard about that. He got seasick, and Magellan put him off at Cape Horn.
Before my time.
A little before your time, yes, Mary. He was going with Queen Isabella in those days. I think Columbus moved in and spoiled the whole thing.
Pardon me, I hate to break up this sparkling dialogue, but it's time now for Gloria to Haven and Frank Sinatra to lift their voices in song.
If I am in the way, Mr. Valley, I shall step aside.
Oh, hello, Gloria.
Hiya, Mary.
Gloria, don't make it too obvious, but how about giving me a knockdown to the voice?
Oh, sure, I'd be glad to. Mary Livingston, this is Frank Sinatra.
Gee, this is a thrill.
Gee, this is a thrill.
Gee, this is a thrill.
Gosh, this is a thrill.
These thrills come to you through the courtesy of the Armed Forces Radio Service. And now Gloria and Frank will sing Come Out, Come Out from their latest picture, Step Lively.
Come out, come out, wherever you are.
And now, gang, Professor Fred Allen has a little announcement to make.
Well, thank you, Rudy. In honor of the state of Maine, I have whipped up a little playlist called Way, Way Down East.
Oh, wonderful. Who's going to be in it, Fred?
There are a lot of beavers in Maine, Rudy. Now, don't be such an ego one. You're going to be in it. You are playing the part of Clem Valley, a simple country yokel. And the voice will be Zeke Sinatra, also a yokel. Well, so much for the yokels.
Say, Fred, what part do I play?
Mary, I have a treat for you. You're going to be my wife.
That's a Dutch treat if I ever heard one.
Nevertheless, you don't mind me cutting in with a big word occasionally. Nevertheless, you are going to be my wife, and Gloria DeHaven is going to be our daughter, Abigail.
Oh, fine. With Valley and Sinatra on the show, and I got to wind up with old Satchel Eyes.
Well, it's better than the old gray goose of Waukegan. Anyhow, we have to be man and wife, Mary, because that's the way the playlet is written, you see.
Oh, well, maybe you're a good husband on paper.
On Kleenex, yes. Well, let's hope for the best. So now for our play, Way, Way Down East. Places, everyone. A little music, please.
Hey,
What you doing there, Ma?
Knitting.
Yeah. What you knitting?
Sweater for our daughter Abigail. She's growing up, you know. What you whittling, Pa?
My thumb, Ma. The wood's all gone.
That's all you ever do. Sit around whittling and drink an applejack out of that jug.
Yeah. Well, you know the old saying, Ma, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
You've got enough in you now to stand off the whole Mayo Brothers clinic.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of this. For 30 years, I've been working my fingers to the bone. And what have I got to show for it?
Bony fingers. Why are you always so pernickety, Ma?
Well, it ain't me so much. I'm worrying about our daughter.
You reckon she's a little catched, do you?
No, nothing like that. No. But we got to get her a husband.
Yeah, who is it? Who's to the door?
It's me, Abigail.
Oh, dagnabbit, Abigail. You don't have to knock when you come into the house. You live here.
Well, I thought you and Ma might be romancing.
Romancing?
Young girl like you having thoughts like that. What do you know about romance?
Plenty. I just come back from the beehive.
Yeah.
See what I told you, Pa?
First time I ever see an egg come out of the beehive, Ma.
Told you, Pa, she's getting ideas.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Abigail. You've been running around with Clem Valley and Zeke Sinatra for 10 years. Has either one of them kissed you?
No, but the wood if it stopped running.
Well, you got to make up your mind which one's going to be your intended. Then we'll figure out when you're going to have your nuptials.
Hold on, there, Ma. There ain't going to be no nuptials in this house till they're married. As the fella says, is that.
I'll handle this. What you got in your hope chest, daughter?
It's full, Ma. Sally, our pig just had a litter in it.
Well, that sure is a greasy dowry.
That must be Clem Valley and Zeke Sinatra.
Your petticoat showing, Abigail. I can see where it says Pillsbury's Best.
Yeah, and take off that bustle, daughter. Bustles is old-fashioned.
That ain't no bustle, Paul. That's where I backed into the beehive.
Oh, well, then, open the door. Open the door. That's two doors. Get them all open now. Open the transom and let your students in. I'll give them a good talking, too. Well, howdy, Clem.
Howdy, Zeke.
Howdy, Mr. Allen. Can me and Zeke chase Abigail around the barn for a spell?
Oh, let's do something that don't take no running.
Now, there ain't going to be no more running around the barn. You've worn a deer path out there in the Timothy now. And listen here, Zeke Sinatra. What are your intentions towards my daughter?
Well, that goes for me, too.
Now, boys, don't evade the issue. You two fellas have been a-courting Abigail, and she's got to get married.
Well, I'll marry if Clem will.
I think we'd be very happy.
Now, boys, just a minute. You fellas know very well that only one... That was my high, slow one. Know darn well that only one of you can marry Abby.
Now you're talking, Pa. Come here, Zeke Sinatra, and kiss your mother-in-law.
But I ain't been accepted yet.
By me, you have.
Now, you can start gumming him a little later, Ma. First, I gotta test the boys to see which one is fittest to marry our daughter. Now, come yonder, Clem Valley. Take a swig of this here applejack. I want to see if you're a man.
Give me the jug.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. It's straightened out his hair.
You're next, Sinatra. Here's the jug. Get to it.
Okay.
Quick! Fish him out! He'll drown in there!
Son, I'll help you out. Anyone got a piece of lint, I'll dry them all.
I'll be all right, Mr. Allen.
You know, this ain't proving nothing, Paul. Our daughter's got to marry someone that knows how to run a farm. Better give him the old hog calling test.
Yep, the old hog calling test it'll be. The old hog auctioneer. Well, you're right, Ma. Clem Valley, you're to go first. Stick your head out of yonder window and start bellering.
All right, Mr. Allen.
Yeah.
Suey, 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 suey. Big, 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 big.
Well, that's pretty good, Clem. You got quite a few. Got a rooster in there, too. Must have slipped off. Now it's an eagle in there, that bald one. That's an eagle. Well, here, quiet, quiet, everybody. Now it's your turn, Zeke Sinatra.
Right you are, Mr. Allen. Won't you tell me when we will meet again? Piggy, piggy, piggy.
I'm in love. They're coming from higher
to this day, when you call on the Allen family up in Maine for dinner, you're sure to get pickled pig's feet with bobby socks. Well, that's it, fellas. The end of another mail call letter. Signatures include Fred Allen, Rudy Valley, Frank Sinatra, Gloria DeHaven, Mary Livingston, Betty and the Boys, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.